Hello and welcome back to Information Systems Introduction. And we are in week 11 with our Globalization and the Digital Divide week. This is going to have some great topics for conversation and really allow us to think bigger, think wider into the global arena. And as we're going to look at the learning objectives, you're going to see that kind of zooming out in all the areas just to kind of get a better perspective. I'd like to go ahead and start us off in prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each student. I ask you to watch over them this week as they are as they're completing every task that allows them to be good members of their family, good members of their churches, good members of their organizations, just contributing to the best of their ability, Lord. And we ask that you just, you know, look over our understanding and give us wisdom and understanding when it comes to these topics of globalization and the empathy required to really understand others' point of view that might not be our situation, but still be able to, you know, make good decisions and really process what others are going through. So we ask that you soften our hearts, you open up our minds, and you allow this learning to happen. And we know we're just so thankful for you, Lord. And in your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Week 11, here we are, Globalization and the Digital Divide. Here are the learning objectives. We have, at the end of this chapter, hopefully, you're going to be able to explain the concept of globalization. What does that word even mean, globalization? Describe the role of IT in globalization. We're going to be able to identify the issues experienced by firms as they face a global economy. So it's not as easy as it sounds to take your organization international. Some of the issues and challenges experienced by firms, we're going to go through those. And then we're going to define the digital divide and explain Nielsen's three stages of the digital divide. So let's jump in. All right, what is globalization? Globalization refers to the integration of goods, services, and culture among the nations of the world. And we can see that we've been experiencing globalization since colonization, so to some degree. It's just getting easier as the world seems to be getting smaller. And advances in all of our communication, telecommunication, transportation, have really accelerated this globalization effect. The internet has made all nations next door neighbors on what used to be communication would have been impossible for remote areas geographically. Now we can have those conversations, we can have open trade, we can have a lot of real collaboration that wouldn't have been possible before the internet. So the rise of network society, this was, we're gonna go through some published works here. That was published in 1996. That we're now into this network society where we're all connected on a global scale. We can see here in 2000 it was published that it's an economy with the capacity to work as a unit in real time on a planetary scale. And then in 2005, Friedman demonstrating that the world is flat, and we're going to go into that shrinking of the world of this flat access to other nations and part of our globalization efforts, and we're going to go through that in just a moment. But first, we're going to talk about the three eras that happened during globalization. Globalization 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. So Friedman unpacked those impacts on personal computing, the internet, communication software, all those impacts that have been happening on businesses, specifically the impact they had on globalization. So we're going to go through globalization 1.0 first, and that is from 1492 till about 1800. This was centered around countries specifically. It's about how much horsepower, wind power, steam power each country had, how creatively it was deployed, to go and explore and to go and colonize other places and to have that communication. At this point, the world was large, right, in 1492. And when this happened in this first era of globalization, I say the world shrank from size large to a size medium. And you're going to notice a pattern that emerges here as we go on to the next era of globalization, which is 2.0. And that's from 1800 till about the year 2000. So we're talking those 200 years. The only interruption to that mainly were the main two world wars, and it was a dynamic force driving change with the multinational companies. So these companies that were providing opportunity for trade, for collaboration, for these agreements between nations. And once that happened from in those 200 years, 1800 to the year 2000, so we had a large to medium. Now we have the world was a size medium, and it kind of went down to shrunk to a size small. So as we moved on now to the 3.0, this is our current era that we're in now. And as the speed of processing and the speed of internet connections have increased, with the capability that came along with that, has been, with the personal computers, the fiber optic internet connections, this flat world platform of being all interconnected. It allows small groups and individuals to go global, and now the world has shrunk from a size small to a size tiny, if you agree with this methodology going through the different eras of globalization. So how does IT factor into globalization? We're going to see here the graphical user interface for personal computers, internet infrastructure, the open source movement, where you're going to have those. And we talked in, I believe, the third week in the software week about open source and what it means to have completely available and free code that others can use to develop and grow certain softwares and source codes from one place to another. So that open source movement was huge for globalization. The mobile technologies that exist and the introduction of software to automate and integrate business processes that allow organizations to work together seamlessly that might not have been able to do that in the past. So those business processes that we're talking about, that's going to be software that allows people to work together more easily, allowing different software packages and databases to integrate with each other more easily. An example of this is going to be payment processors and shipping calculations that allow those easy relationships and communications between companies that might not be using the exact same platforms. They're still able to do business and have a global relationship. So here are the advantages of global firms. The new era of globalization, this 3.0, allows any business to become international. That means that before, where you'd have to enter into, you know, a global trade contract, you'd need to, contract transportation and these special relationships, where now really any business, your small business on Etsy can become international with our mobile computing. Advantages of global firms also include the ability to locate expertise and labor around the world. You're not just limited to your geographic area for who's around that can do what you need them to do or offer you goods and services that you need. You now have, you know, your yellow pages have expanded globally at this point. You can operate 24 hours a day at this point, where you are not limited to the working hours in your neighborhood. We are on a global time clock, which is 24 hours. Also, there's a larger market. If you are the one who is producing goods or services, definitely a larger market for your product. You can compete on the global scale, where you would have really had to be a really large player in the game before to have that kind of marketplace available to you. Those are the advantages. Here's the challenges of global firms. There are infrastructure differences, certainly. The labor laws and regulations are different from country to country. The legal restrictions certainly are different when it comes to all kinds of things, the language, the customs, the preferences. In dealing with organizations from other places where things might be very commonplace, the way you do it is not the way business is done in another country, and you want to make sure that you're being sensitive to all of those customs and cultural preferences. International shipping can be a huge barrier and a challenge for global firms, depending on what product or service you're using, and also, again, those cultural differences. All right, we're going to talk about the digital divide. And this is, there's going to be a few slides about this digital divide. It is quite a large part of this chapter, and something that if you are an aspiring IT professional, something that you should have a solid background upon. And this is that the internet is creating that separation between those who have access to the global network and those who don't. So that separation of those who do and who don't, that is the digital divide. So the digital divide could prevent certain categories of people. So maybe it's people with low-income housing, senior citizens, single parent with child in their home, people who are severely undereducated, minorities, residents of very rural areas, people who have difficulty having that access to that global network, from receiving adequate access to those resources offered by computer technology. And so when you have some that are so readily available and some that just don't have access, this digital divide occurs. So it can occur between countries, regions, even neighborhoods. If you notice that one neighborhood has access to some of these technological resources and that the next neighborhood over does not, being able to see that in many United States cities there's pockets with little or no internet access. And then right down the road, high-speed broadband is readily available to the entire town. So still working on some of those infrastructure solutions. There are some areas where you'd still need to have a satellite internet solution or something similar to be able to have online access in some of those more remote or rural areas or pocket cities within the United States that just don't have the coverage necessary for this global connection that we're talking about. And there's been lots of solutions that have been tried with mixed success over the years to kind of close this gap of this digital divide. And those are going to be the giving one laptop per child in the public school system, the cyber cafes, these coffee houses that could provide internet services to some of these areas that might not have access in a residential situation. And, you know, there's been mixed success of some of these solutions that could close that digital divide gap. Here's a little more. Another view of the problem was proposed by Nielsen, and that is that there's three stages of a digital divide. That's going to be an economic one, a usability problem, and empowerment. So when we take the economic divide, the usability divide, and empowerment divide, those are the stages that really contribute to the general digital divide that we've been talking about with access versus no access. Let's break that down a little bit. So the first stage here, this economic divide, or economic divide, however you prefer to pronounce it. What's usually called, this first component is the idea that some people can afford to have a computer and internet access and some people can't. Even though hardware is very much cheaper today than it has been in the past, and that in the future computers are going to be cheaper and more powerful, going back to that Moore's law of the processing speed increasing substantially every 2 years, doubling. So Nielsen suggests that cost isn't going to be as big of a deal in the future as it becomes more affordable to have home computers and internet connections with, as Moore's law suggests, with those higher speeds and the profit margins diminishing for those products and services. the usability divide was that second component, and that's going to be, according to Nielsen, technology remains so complicated, many people couldn't use a computer even if they got one for free. And this one makes me sad. So even for those people who can use a computer, accessing all the benefits of having one is just beyond their understanding. If they were given that computer and 10 years of free time, they just wouldn't be able to harness all the benefits of having that global network at their fingertips. We'll notice this problem particularly evident with low literacy individuals, senior citizens who are not really interested in learning the new technologies, and digital natives versus digital immigrants is what you'll see this as a lot. Digital natives, they were born with this technology. It is part of their DNA. It's part of the way they grew up, and they're very comfortable, versus digital immigrants who are just visiting, and they don't know how they feel about it yet. And they've just arrived here in the digital landscape, and some of them are not a fan. So we know how to solve this problem, but the solution is not cost-effective. And we would think that solution would be certainly training and access to everyone who would want it. So that, I don't know how, isn't going to be a reason, because you'll be taught how. Finally, the empowerment divide. This one is the trickiest. It's the most difficult to solve. It's concerned with how we use technology to empower ourselves. So very few users truly understand the power that digital technologies, what it can do for them. Researchers report that few people contribute content to the internet on a global scale. We know that there are quite, there's not a lack of authors on the internet for sure. But relatively speaking, very few people are contributing to that digital footprint on the internet, more of gleaning information rather than having it be an interactive experience. Few users use those advanced search features. Many people are going to limit what they can do online by just taking the very basic default settings. They're not customizing those settings and having those systems really work in tandem together and having a customized experience, but more so plugging in their computer straight out of the box and using the applications that are there, and that's kind of more of a limited functionality. And some people just don't understand how they can be truly empowered. They don't know what's possible. And the reason this one is the most difficult to solve is this one is really really a lesson in agency and in training and education that it's not just how to use your computer, but having people think bigger about what is possible and what could be if they were to really embrace the technology and make the digital divide smaller. So in summary, we're going to talk about, we did talk about the concept of globalization, what that really means, and the role of IT in that globalization, and how we talked about the world starting off very large in 1492 is where our timeline started, and that as we got closer to the modern age, the world just went from large to medium to small to tiny. We identified the issues experienced by firms in the global economy. We know the challenges that they're facing. And then we define that digital divide and Nielsen's three stages of the empowerment, the usability, and the economic divide as part of the three stages of the digital divide from Nielsen. So thank you so much for sticking with me here as we talk about this topic of globalization. And we know that the access is there. We know that we're able to harness the power of IT and the internet as long as we just, we get the training that we need. We look at these three areas of divide, and we want to make sure that we're not falling into one of those areas where it's we're falling into a empowered versus the non-empowered populations, and we want to make sure that as many people as possible we can get to understand the possibilities, to learn how to use them successfully, and then be able to financially afford these things that we're talking about. So Thank you again for sticking with me. Our last module, our last week is the last week, which is going to be ethics and information systems, and then information systems in the future and beyond. So I appreciate spending this time with you, and I will see you very soon. Thank you.